Well, I may or may not have enough material for us to finish out the hour. And if we don't, we'll probably just end a little early because Clayton's next and he's teaching class downstairs. So can't be two places at the same time. But anyhow, last week we started on the domestic, or what I call the interpersonal qualifications of an officer of the church. And we talked last week about the husband being the husband of one wife and ruling his own house well. And of course we're in 1 Timothy the 3rd chapter, verses 4 and 5, and Titus 1 and 6 is where these two passages are. And just by way of maybe a one-minute review here, we talked about how all the qualifications really apply to current officers and prospective officers alike. We talked about how a single man is unqualified because he's not married. We talked a little bit about the wife also, her qualifications. There is a list of those also we talked about. And we talked about, under the subject of ruling his own house well, about the need for cooperation from the household. No man or woman can rule their house or guide their house unless they have, or do a very good job unless they have at least some cooperation. And we talked about how the same is true in the church. The members of the church voluntarily submit to follow the elders, and that's their choice to follow the elders. And they have the option of following or not following. And we have the same is true with God. God gives us the choice, and it's up to us. And the ultimate responsibility for a father ruling his house well lies with him, because God designated him as the head of the family. Even though children are to obey their mother the same as their father, it's still the ultimate responsibility of the father. Any follow-up thoughts or anything on that from last week? Okay, we're going to talk about children tonight then. And and I don't want to talk about it just yet, but what are children? Does this mean only in the house? Does this mean as long as they are the children of the father? What type of ages are we talking about? And are we talking about members of the church or not? Just let that be in your mind while we talk. We might talk a little bit about that later. But I don't want to get hung up on that right now. In 1 Timothy 3, the 4th chapter, it says, having his children in submission with all reverence. And in Titus, says, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. That's the New King James. In the King James, the Old King James, it says his children are to be in subjection with all gravity, which goes along with submission with all reverence. And also says faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. And the New King James says dissipation or insubordination. And I think that it's really apparent when it says not accused of dissipation or insubordination. I think that means not guilty of. Anyone can be accused of anything. That doesn't make them guilty. But obviously, if the children are guilty, then that's or practice that, I think that's what we're talking about. I think that's understood. If you have another thought, disagree with it, let's talk about it. I think that's pretty evident on the face.
Of course, I guess dissipation means the same thing. It says dissipation or insubordination. I'm not real familiar with
They're
that.
Totally different. We're going to get into that. We're going to do a little word study here.
Okay. That's
yeah,
okay.
And
familiar with that word.
Well, I wasn't really either, but it's actually mentioned in the scriptures other times than this, and I knew it, but I just never... It never clicked in my mind, and I never put the two together till now. But let's do a little bit of a word study here. First of all, Paul tells Timothy what children should be, and then he tells Titus what they should not be, or what they should practice and what they should not practice. So he covers both sides of it. Let's look at the words submission or subjection. That's the first word we're talking about. That's how they are to act. And I really can't see that it means anything other than obedience. To submit to the Father, to submit to the elders, to submit to anyone who has rule over you or authority over you of any kind means obedience. And since the husband is designated by God as the head of the household, the children are ultimately to submit to and be in subjection to him, even though they're also to submit and obey their mother. Anyone have any thoughts on that or want to expound on that?
First of all, I think to submit is one of the basic principles in the whole Bible, really. You think about it. If you can't submit to God, you're totally out of the picture.
Yes.
And if you say you submit to God, you have to be able to submit to your parents. You have to be able to submit to your elders. You have to be able to submit to your husband if you're a wife. So submitting is you have to be able to submit to your boss. Submitting is like basic of basic principles.
Yeah. The family, it might help us to also think that the family, each family is a unit, just like each congregation of the church is a unit. Each congregation of the church is separate and distinct, even though they practice the same. There might be a few differences, and there are in most cases, but by and large, the true church practices the same thing in different locations, just as each family is to function in the same manner, but has its differences within the families. There's different routines, there's different things that go on in different families, but still the end product is to be the same. Okay.
Stop me if I'm getting ahead of you.
Stop, because you're always ahead. Go ahead.
I kind of meant to mention this last week. I'm not really a very qualified person to talk about this. And take this as someone who's a father of a former uncle. But when he says they're having his children in submission with all reverence, I think it's apparent he's saying that the father is demonstrating some skill. The father has demonstrated the ability to bring his children into submission, which I think we all know, whether you have kids or not, that children are different. And some children, I don't think you would have to coach them into submission. They just do. But then there's polar opposites where it is an active process.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what he's saying here is a man who has the skill to be an elder must have demonstrated that skill in his own family. You know, whatever the nature of the children are, I'm sure should be in consideration. But just like children have different personalities, people in congregation are going to have different personalities.
Yeah.
So I think he's saying here that it's not an accidental process.
Right.
It's demonstrated the talent.
It's not an accident if your children turn out to be members of the church. That didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen by accident if they turn out to be the opposite either. There's a lot of things that go into that. And along the line of what you're saying there, I had mentioned it last week in a different way. You talked about skill, and I think that's right. And part of what that skill is influence, is the whole life that the father and the mother live to shape those children. And they are to use their influence, just as the elders are to use their influence in the church for good. Because we all influence one another. You know, and that's viewed in the world a lot of times as bad. That's negative. That's not good, to influence someone. Well, it's not if you're influencing them for wrong, but to influence for good is really our duty. Did you have something?
Yeah, I was just going along with what Tad said. I think that this is a testing ground, a proving ground for a man to, because I like what it says in the New American Standard. It says, keeping control instead of having in submission, keeping control of the family. And that's what it's all about, is keeping control. Keeping, and submission, is that's all part of it, being subject to and submission to, and just keeping control. And it takes a lot of different, like you said, we've got so many different attitudes and personalities, and all of that has to be worked together. And so, I don't know anybody that's perfect in doing it, but there needs to be as Ted said, there needs to be a demonstrated
ability
there,
yeah,
to do that.
Yeah.
Children can be very manipulative, and if you don't have this ability, like it's talking about here, things get out of hand.
Yeah.
We can see kids in school. When I taught school, you can see kids that basically ran their parents. So
sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, any other thoughts on submission or subjection, meaning obedience? Pretty straightforward. All right, let's talk about reverence in the New King James and gravity as it's worded in the Old Kings or the King James Version. Gravity is defined by Webster as dignity or sobriety of bearing, importance, significance, and earnestness. Dignity or sobriety of bearing. It is the respect and seriousness, these are my words, it's the respect and seriousness the children should display towards their father, especially when he specifically gives them direction or correction. Reverence and gravity. Now, let's not confuse reverence with the children or anyone else thinking that this man is reverent. That's not what it means. Like, Reverend so-and-so, as people like to be called in the world. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an attitude displayed by the children towards their father. Gravity. Seriousness. This qualification, or this attitude, a trait here, to me, the child has to have some age on it. You can't expect a 3 or 4 or 5 year old to really, you can expect them to obey, not at all times, but they're learning obedience. But does that mean that they're going to display an air of dignity or in sobriety towards their father? I don't think so. I just don't think they're old enough yet to know that. To me, this means a child that's older, old enough to understand some things, old enough to understand that everything is not games. Everything is not just playing. And
we really can't put age. It's difficult. It's dangerous to put ages.
It is, yeah.
But what you're saying is right. I mean, they need to be of older age where they can think seriously.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's foolishness bound in the heart of the child. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But until that gets out, and it comes out of some sooner than it does others.
Right, right.
Father has to learn to deal with that and how to, and to be sure when they do reach that period when they can think more seriously, that they think well of him.
Yeah.
That you know, okay, he's made me mine, and he's, you know, made.
And if they never have these thoughts towards him, isn't it because he hasn't taught them how to think that way?
It could be. I'm thinking in terms of the two parts. One is submit, the other one is to, with reverence or In other words, do you think we could use the word honor there with honor?
Oh yeah, I think so.
Okay,
sure.
I could see you could have a father or mother that basically beat you into submission, but you might submit because you were scared of them, or you know what I'm saying, you basically were beaten submission. But but if you really, and those kind of kids are provoked to anger, as it talks about in Ephesians, you know. He's talking about, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up to the training and admonition of the Lord. So the point that I'm trying to make is that I think you could have one without the other. So just because a kid submits,
sure,
doesn't mean he's going to honor him. And so I'm saying the way you get them to submit will have some bearing on whether or not they do it in reverence or in honor.
Right.
Who uses a gun as a spanking if there is spanking?
Do what?
She said, who usually does it?
Depends on the household.
Who usually does it?
Well, I don't know, Gwen. Who do you think?
I think as a whole, the mother is the one teaching the child whether it's right or wrong. And then when the father is included, it should be that you don't want to cross him. That's the way my books work.
When the father's included?
Or anything like that.
I thought the father was always included.
Well,
I think what she's saying.
I
see what you're saying.
Mother with a little babe is more close to that babe as they grow up.
With a small child, sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, the father's involved in it, but then as they get older, I'm kind of the same way. My father didn't spank me very many times, but when he did, I remember those times.
I remember every spanking I got from my father.
And it was when I was older.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I was just going to add the Bob's comment a little bit. He says this because having respectful children, it's not really about the children at all. It's about the quality. It's about some quality in a father. So a father that has children that are obedient and respectful towards the father, that's supposed to be showing us some trait of the father.
Right.
That he's instilled in them a sense of respect, and therefore they submit to him.
Right.
Which, as we'll talk about later, I'm sure, that's exactly how he should operate in the church.
Yeah, I have a comment later on that, but that's right. Okay, let's move on then to the term faithful children. I think that's in both passages, isn't it? No, it's not. Just in Titus. Okay. One thing that we could, I guess, one way to define something is define the opposite. That would be the easy way here. What would be the, and this word is used in the New King James, and that's insubordinate. If you're faithful, you're not insubordinate. Insubordinate is defined, it's very simple, is defined by Webster as disobedient to authority. Someone who just is disobedient. There's no qualification put on authority there, what kind of authority, any authority. If you're insubordinate, if you're insubordinate in the military, they bring you up on charges, throw you in the brig, and you'll have a court-martial or whatever. I'm sure Jay has seen that. Hopefully not been a part of it, but that's very common. It's called insubordination in the military and in law enforcement. And that, in partial answer to my question earlier about what is a child, as we're studying, that can apply to a person of any age. A person can be disobedient to authority at any age as long as they're old enough to realize what they're doing is wrong.
Don't you think it does have a connotation of someone who really knows?
Yeah.
They really know, and they're just opposite. They're just going to go against it. They're not going to be brought under subjection.
Right.
And there's some children that are
rebellious is a word for that, I think.
And so, you know, if a father had that type of a child, it's come to the point where he has had to remove them from the home.
Yeah.
How would that fall into qualifying for an elder? Depends on how he had handled that situation, I guess.
All right, well, let's talk about the next word, and that's what Bob talked about. That's dissipation. That's kind of a strange word that we don't use. It's defined by Webster as corruptness, debasement, debauchery, and degeneracy. These are adult terms. These are not terms we use in relation to little children. Here's some scripture. Somebody read Ephesians 5:18. Somebody read Luke 21:34 and 1 Peter 4:3-4.
This is Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
Okay. Luke 21:34.
Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap.
All right. And 1 Peter 4:3-4.
For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. You said 4:3-4?
Mm-hmm.
When we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riots, speaking evil of you.
Okay. The New King James says the same flood of dissipation, and I think it does not use dissipation in what you read, Karen, Luke 21:34, but the verse describes it. There's a reason. Okay. These are I think we'd say erosion of morals, to say the least. This is a person who has, and it's talking about children. So again, I come back to this question of how old is this child? You know, what type of a person are we talking about here? Obviously, it's not a little child, as we think of it as a child. This person has matured enough at least to survive on their own, probably, and this lifestyle wouldn't be tolerated in a Christian home. So, here's a thought for you. This gives support. Now, I'm not taking sides here. I want you to think. This gives support that the children, whether young and in the home or grown and away from the home, should be members of the church. There are some that feel that a man could be an elder and his children not be members of the church as long as they are obedient to him. There are others that think that they should be members of the church. I think this scripture gives support that they should be members. But, it's not the whole pack. We're not looking at the whole package yet here.
To me, one thing for sure, which I had never thought about before, but you made a good point, is that this is obviously talking about children that are probably at that age where they should be able to make a decision whether or not.
Surely they're at least teenagers by then.
Yeah, that's what
at least.
I'm thinking of somebody that's 15, 16, 17, somewhere in there, at least. Because you know how kids do when they get that age.
Sure.
They want to get out and they want to party. That's what their friends are doing. They're partying or they're doing this or that.
Yeah.
You know, the Greek word that this dissipation comes from is the same word as prodigal.
Oh, really?
Prodigal. And meaning, just like what you said, extravagant squandering or just, just going out and living it up.
Yeah.
The prodigal son is a good example of one that did that.
And, you know, it's kind of, well, funny's not the word, but phenomenon, I don't know. But, you know, we used to see when a teenager goes haywire, and maybe they go out and steal a car, or they get a gun or whatever, and they decide they're going to do something crazy. It seems that at times that they have no fear of anything. They have reckless abandon. Whereas, you know, a hardened criminal might do the same thing, but they're careful. They don't want to really get caught. And it seems like at times a young kid could care less. They're just wide open. And, you know, that kind of, to me, describes this dissipation. Is just, their life is breaking down, is what I think it is.
I have heard, just to explain that, when you're talking about this, they need to be faithful to their parents. We're just talking about that, because they were talking in submission to the father and all that sort of thing, and they were saying that, that it should be, they should always, no matter how old they are, still honor their father and their son.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're always to honor our parents, regardless of age. The question is, you know, if you're not living in the home, you know, you have your own home where you live by yourself, are you to be obedient to them if you're not living under their roof?
Because I think the real judgment comes is when that father does have them under his roof and under his authority, his
right.
full authority,
right.
to see if he how he handled that. And yet, you know, these domestic, there can be a lot of different situations, and the congregation has to decide when they're choosing
mm-hmm.
and look at how they have handled themselves in controlling their family, and I think they have to, you know, they have to go with that.
Yeah, I think it's why we have all these different things that talks about the family, whether it's the children or the wife or the husband. Look at the whole package.
But I don't know that we can say that that every one of their children have to be members of the church. I don't believe that's taught here. Now, but if they're not members of the church, that's going to take some scrutiny on the part of the fellow, the brethren,
mm-hmm.
you know, to decide if it was because of a failure of the father to really do what he should do.
That kind of goes along with my next statement I was going to say here. The older a child is, and the longer they live as a member of the Lord's body or not, really reflects back on the influence the father had on them while they were under his roof. It goes back to how were they taught or how were they not taught. And obviously, it's possible for children that are raised correctly in the church to fall away. But I would also make the observation, and I know that everyone here probably has done the same, that some children who were supposedly raised in the church were not raised correctly. In other words, just because a child was born to Christian parents or parents that come to church and bring the child, does that mean that they were raised correctly? I don't think that means that any more than it means every single soul in the church will make it to heaven.
And that's where the judgment comes in on the congregation
yep.
part to decide, you know, is this person qualified to lead the congregation?
Yeah, and you know what? That's judging on the part of the members, and they are to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They are to judge that person. And you know, determine if there's a disconnect between what they see and what the real person is. And that's the fact, or that's the decision that each person will have to make. Any other thoughts on that?
It's interesting as I'm thinking about some of the things you just said as far as raising them correctly. You know, people may be well having their children and raising them in their 20s and 30s, and maybe early 40s, you may be looking at someone when they're 60 to be qualified as an elder who may have learned from their mistakes, they may not have raised their children, quote, correctly, while now being able to lead the church well. I wonder what that implies. I'm just throwing that out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, somebody, you know, we're talking sometime 10 or 20 years later, can certainly realize that they didn't raise them correctly. I'm not sure. I mean, you certainly need to observe their children. That may or may not disqualify them.
Yeah.
You know, just a thought as you were talking about that.
Well, I don't think there would be any dispute that they didn't have the practice. They don't have that qualification. They may have come to their senses and learned what they did wasn't wrong, but have they skillfully practiced that? I don't know, Kevin. That's a good.
Then,
it's just something else to add to the mix, you know, to consider.
You know, we can keep going on this, but let's say that someone came into the church when they were 40 years old,
mm-hmm.
just became members, and then at 60, they've been in there 20 years, and they were considered for an elder's position or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that can really that. There's a lot of things the congregation has to really stop and seriously
yeah.
think about. And judgments that they have to make.
And you know, just because, you know, there's things in our past life that we cannot change. Like someone that may come to the church when they're 40 or 45 or whatever. You can't go back and change what... that the fact that you were not a member for the first 40 years of your life, that may or may not disqualify you, but even if it does disqualify you as an elder, does that mean you're not going to make it to heaven? Of course not. You know, the Gentiles, as we see in the New Testament, lived some pretty horrible lives. The filth that they were a part of, we just read about here, this dissipation, in time past, it said, though. But they came to Christ, they put that behind them. Were some of those officers in the church? I don't know. Possibly. Okay.
I get kind of the big elephant in the room, and we've sort of talked around this idea some, is, you know, what exactly does it mean that says the children are faithful?
Yeah.
Now, some have suggested it just means faithful to the Father. You know, some people would say it means faithful to God. My personal opinion is the natural reading is faithful to God. Because if the child has been raised to be faithful to the Father, how could they be faithful to the Father but not to God?
Yeah.
I mean, so to me, that's just kind of walking around the argument. So assuming it does mean faithful to God, and this kind of goes to what we've been talking about as far as, you know, do the children need to be in the church or not in the church or that kind of stuff. And I think this is potentially a real situation. We talked about this some. What if a man comes into the church when he's 60 years old? He was always a, you know, good moral man, but he didn't understand the truth. So he comes into the church when he's 60 years old. Obviously, none of his children would have been raised faithful to God and to the church. But he's a good man. He has a good relationship with his children. All his children are in submission to him. They always have been. But, you know, if he's 60 years old, that means his children are probably in their 20s and 30s. It's extremely unlikely that his children are going to follow him into the church. But his children are faithful to him. They submit to him. They're in subjection to him. But they're not members of the church, even though he's a good man. So then the question would be, is he qualified to be an elder? If he meets every other qualification, but his children are not in the church, is he qualified? And I think based on this passage, the answer would be no. The reason it would be no is, you know, part of the reason for this qualification, and I know you're going to talk about this more, is when a man raises his children, that's his audition for the eldership.
Mm-hmm.
It's him proving that he has the capacity to help people be faithful. And even if he could have done that, he didn't. And so that's the evidence. The family is his evidence that he can do the work that needs to be done as an elder in the church.
And what, you know, something else that has to be, I think, has to be considered is, how does the rest of the membership view this? What type of influence would that have on them, even though he's obviously doing the best he can at this point in time in his life? He can't go back and change what was before. What kind of influence does that have on the congregation? So, things to think about.
I think in regard to what Ted was saying, I know we'll not take that position, but I think we have to assume, I mean, I think it's only reasonable to assume that Paul was giving both of these evangelists the same instructions.
Mm-hmm.
So, what he told Timothy was that having his children under control or in submission has to be the same as having faithful children. One's not to God and one's not to, you know, if one's to God, they're both to God. If one is to the Father, then I think they both have to be to the Father. Now, what he said, I think, is right. I think those things have to be taken into consideration. If somebody, all of his children, that he was in the church and none of his children are members, I think definitely there's a reason.
There's a problem there.
There's a problem there. Yeah. So I'm not saying that's not part of it, but I think to make a hard and fast rule that they have to be faithful to God, I don't think the Scripture will bear that up. As there could be a situation where a man could qualify if his children. Well,
okay. Well, I want
to. Yeah. One of them saved, maybe yeah. One of them.
Would well, be. I'll just have one other thing I wanted to say, that logical thing that makes sense to me, and then we'll move on. But it's if a God fearing Christian man was raising his children as they should be raised, and they were in obedience to him, wouldn't they also be in obedience to God? Isn't that the normal progression of what they should do?
Yeah, that's the way it should be, but is it always that way?
No, it's not. But the question is, does that disqualify him? Are they obedient and are they submissive and are they faithful if he teaches them to be a Christian and they don't, if they don't obey God, are they obeying their father? So, I'll let you answer that.
We need to follow my statement real quick.
Okay. I can't believe we're not even going to get done here. We are going to get done.
I just should have been clear on my personal position. I do think that faithful does mean faithful to God, but I do agree that I'm not saying that the man has to have a 100% perfect record with his kids.
Yeah.
Because no elder is going
I
to
don't
perform.
I think anyone role. Will.
It's not like we're going to kick out an elder every time he has to, withdraw a member or something. So,
yeah.
But
okay.
There does have to be a demonstration of some skill for sure.
All right. Here's a thought, something that might be good for us to consider too, not specifically about the children or the house, the household, but as you consider the members and the officers, think of them as two separate people here. There's a great sense of relief, comfort, and maybe complacency in knowing someone you have confidence in is responsible and in charge of the most important aspects of your home, your job, or your company you work at, the leaders of our nation, and the leaders of the church. If we've got competent people in charge and are doing a good job, that's a good feeling, isn't it? It gives us some confidence. On the other hand, there's a great sense of responsibility. This is talking about the officers. There's a great sense of responsibility, maybe anxiety or even fear, if you are the person who's ultimately responsible. Only a fool or a person who is ignorant of his duties wouldn't feel the burden of that responsibility. Proverbs 12 and 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." So when the children of the home or members of the church rebel or fail to submit to the rightful authority God has put in place. I repeat that. God has put through the church, God has put the elders in place and put the father in place. If the members of the family or the church fail to submit, I don't think they really understand or consider the consequences of the opposite. of no authority, no government, or no order in the three institutions that God has set up. Those, of course, are the home, civil governments, and the church. As children in the family or members of the church have those rebellious thoughts or actions, we need to think about what the alternative is. What if we didn't have any leadership or authority? Where would we be then? And that's why God has instituted it and set it up. Any other thoughts before we close?
Well, one question we didn't bring up, you used to always be brought up, well, should they have more than one child? Does children mean more than one? No, I don't think it does.
I don't think it does.
The scriptures that maybe you already got some.
What if the wife had a child and then was unable to have another child? Was that that's not in her control? So
yeah, it talks about the widow indeed, you know, who has children that will.
Well, if she doesn't have children that will take care of her,
and that could be just one.
Yeah.
You know, children can be
a child.
One. It's a singular.
Yeah.
It's a singular.
Any other thoughts? Thank you for your comments. Clayton will have it next week. If there's anyone in need of anything, we offer the gospel invitation.